Welcome to Two Bards, One Mic. Insert interesting music here.
I swear we're actually going to get music one of these days.
Nah.
210.
210.
How's it going, Scott?
It's going great. I wanted to hand out a little pro tip to everybody who's listening to the podcast.
Do it.
If you want to know whether we're recording in Studio West or Studio East, let your ears figure it out.
Yes. Yes.
And that's a pro tip. It's not a pro answer.
Correct.
So just
you'll figure it out pretty easy, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a group of people who aren't going to figure it out.
That's true.
I mean, they could probably still figure it out on account of just background noise and whatnot.
Yeah.
But for some people, it's going to be real obvious. For other people, not so much.
For the monos, you're still getting the same quality programming
you've always gotten.
But if you're in stereo.
Yeah. Oh, you pretty much gave them the tip. But yeah.
You could smell what the rock is cooking. And it's called Rampage.
In post, I hope you swap the channels. Oh, hey, here's a pro tip. Mm. Don't go see A Quiet Place with Rampage playing next door.
Oh, really?
Because it's not that thing. Well, my pro tip is don't go see A Quiet Place. I fucking hated it.
Really?
Yes. For a couple of
number
reasons.
Number two is already in the works.
I know. The reason I hated it is because the premise was so fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What a great premise. And they wasted it and fucked up so much of the stuff.
Oh.
You know who the first people to die in that world would be? Deaf people.
Yeah.
Like, right out of the gate, deaf people would be... It was a weird thing. I know why they chose it, because then everybody knows sign language, because they have a reason to. But, okay, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm.
Suspension of little disbelief is way harder to do than suspension of big disbelief.
Right.
Do I believe there are crazy fucking things out there? Yes. I'm in. And I even believe Jim from The Office is the one who's surviving. I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Though I think Dwight Schrute is somewhere doing a little bit better. That being said, I'm in. You've got me.
Yeah.
Don't fucking mess it up by literally showing New York Post being sold in a corner vending machine in bumfuck Indiana. Don't fuck it up by letting a four-year-old, which is the loudest force of nature, this is all in the opening, letting the loudest force of nature just run off. Or even taking that kid with you when you're out hunting. Don't fuck it up by taking the sick kid you're getting medicine for to the place you're getting medicine. That makes zero sense. He can't walk. He's being carried. Leave him where you find out later is their relatively safe, soundproofed home that has a bunch of fucking stuff set up to not trigger the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't show me that you're pouring white sand everywhere in a landlocked fucking state and not address where you got that sand. Anyway, I was hoping you've seen it. I don't know if I haven't seen it yet,
and well, I probably won't.
It's...
Well, I will once I can watch it in the comfort of my own home.
Yeah, and I mean... I will say, make sure you have zero distractions. No getting up, nobody on their phone. Like, it needs to be, you need to be locked into it.
Yeah.
I'll give it that. It does set ambiance very well, but they fuck up. So, dude, that is the surface of the surface that I'm getting at. It gets so much worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, do you remember the beginning of Reign of Fire? They show a bunch of newspaper clippings and stuff. But it makes sense. They're battling the things, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're battling the dragons in Reign of Fire, and they finally give up, and they, you know, blah, blah. This is like, these things attacked, and they're killing us all, but we're still making newspapers. The government's given up, but we're still making newspapers. Enough newspapers to actually soundproof an entire room, by the way.
Mm.
Yeah. So
it's a lot of newspapers.
It's fucking stupid. It was the hardest movie to not walk out of since Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I will watch it because I like...
Honestly, Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil is better than this.
Oh,
substantially okay. better than this.
Wow.
I almost walked out of Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil because the person behind me made it super unpleasant. So I took that unpleasantness and applied it to the movie.
Oh, okay.
It's like
Skeeter Ulrich was not that bad.
Oh, Skeet Ulrich. When he's not murdering a bunch of teens with fucking Matthew Lillard, who even cares?
I know.
Yeah. Second rate fucking Johnny Depp. How's it going, Scott?
Going well. How about you, Andy?
Well, so that's the movie I saw this week. Mm-hmm. You saw, from everything I've heard, which is I've been trying to keep my ears as closed as possible, you saw a markedly better movie this week.
I did.
But we can't talk about it yet.
But we can't talk about it yet.
Because I'm seeing it tomorrow after work.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. So
yeah.
you are seeing it soon.
5:20.
And the listeners here probably haven't all caught up. I know right. Brophy has.
Well, talk about fucking sold out. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you had to go across the lake.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. People in the Seattle area, it's not that far. Go to Monroe.
Yeah.
Go to Monroe. Wonderful theater. Just as good. I mean, it's not Cinerama or some of the RPX type movie theaters,
no,
but they've got 3D. They've got really big screens, and we went. I guess it opened on Friday, but we saw it on Thursday.
No, it opened on Thursday, but if you got a Thursday 11:59 opening, you got the standard opening. If you got a Thursday post 7 p.m. opening, you got a special engagement opening.
Okay, so we got the special engagement
right.
opening. And because all the posters and everything were saying the 27th, and
right.
we were seeing it on the 26th, but they were showing it at 7:10, 7:15, 7:20, 7:30. That was that initial run.
Right.
So I just walked up and I said, which theater has the fewest number of tickets sold? And because I wanted to get a good seat.
Right.
And we sat center.
Ooh, that's my favorite.
Handicap rail in front.
Oh, legs up.
Yep.
Legs up.
It was, and they started with the trailers, and I looked at Jen and I said, do I need to go get you some tissue paper for your ears? Because it was
super
finally
loud.
Something that was loud.
Oh my God.
Not this kind of, let's turn it up to 7 and call that good.
Right.
No, this was 8.5, 9. In 3/4, I don't know. It was good.
They'd have to call me 009.5. What's it from? What's it from? Do you remember? Or at least who said it? Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to say it was from... It wasn't from Pluto Nash, was it? It might have been.
Good.
Remember that movie existing?
No.
Yeah, good call.
But now that you've said it,
yeah.
I remember...
So the movie I've been watching with my fingers. That's not right. I've been playing a game that is very cinematic, God of War.
Oh, okay.
Or God of Boy, Dad of Boy, mm-hmm. people have called it, or a very goofy Kratos, because the plot is remarkably similar to a goofy movie, I'm not gonna lie.
Mm-hmm.
If instead of getting to a campsite, you're disposing of your dead mother's remains, and instead of Pete and Pete Jr., it's Norse gods trying to kill you,
mm-hmm.
it's the same story, 100%.
Hmm.
So, kid who doesn't want to be there, kid who's you have a strained relationship, mom's dead. It's really good. And oh my God, the graphics are fantastic. Did you see the one that I posted to the Discord? I'm going to...
No.
Let me see if I can pull it up real quick, because it is... And I've had to, unfortunately, shrink this a bit. So this is just one I happened to catch while this character's rolling its eyes as you present her with a lovely gift.
Can you do open original? Will it be bigger?
It might be. I had to shrink it down because you know how good Discord is at anything over 8 megs. It freaks
right.
the fuck out. That's a little better. It's actually full 4K, so it would fill up this whole screen if...
Oh, wow. And I love the runic tats on his head.
Dude,
All the little itty bitty.
Unfortunately, it's PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
But if you ever happen upon a PlayStation 4, I'll tell you why I think you would love this. There's a mode that says just give me story. Now, granted, you still have to play.
Right.
But it's much easier.
Yeah.
Really, really a lot easier. And then there's normal, which is what I'm on. They don't change the story at all. I hate that when they're like, oh, you're not good at games. Well, fuck you. You don't get the story. I like it when they're like, no, the whole point of being good at games is feeling that sense of accomplishment when you beat it on hard. But nobody should pay for a full game and not get the story.
Right.
So this game kind of does that.
Oh, cool.
Which I really like. And I mean, it's hard. The combat system is it's a lot of fingers. They made some really stupid choices, I think. Mm-hmm. So did we talk about this game at all last?
We talked a lot about the game.
We talked a lot about it. And I think I talked about the axe throwing and how it's very much like Thor. Because you have an axe instead of a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw the axe. And blah, blah. And my biggest complaint about the game is that they didn't look at the controls and come up with a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So to throw the axe, you hold L2 to aim, which you're already aiming with the sticks. All they had to do is just put a permanent reticle on there, and you didn't have to do any of that, but whatever. So you hold L2 to aim. You tap either R1 or R2 to light throw or heavy throw. And then you have to call the axe back with triangle and do it all again. And I'm like, why didn't you just make L2 all of the things? Like, aim with the stick, tap L2 to light throw, hold L2 to heavy throw, tap L2 again to bring it back. This all makes sense, and it's like a nice quick motion. You don't have to, but nope, they chose to do this three key motion.
So you can't remap it like you can in some games?
You can remap the individual buttons, but they still have to be three distinct buttons.
Oh.
Because you can't map, you can only map a button as an entity. You can't map individual functions on a button.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Anyway, great. The story is getting better and better and better. The sum of a person you saw, that's Mimir. So if you're into Norse mythology, Mimir shows up. They all show up.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking great. And I think, like, I talked about Baldur, but there are some other... Everyone shows up.
Nice.
So, and I'm going to guess, considering it's a pantheon sort of thing, Norse mythology is a pantheon, and it has nine realms, there's a lot of places to go with this.
Yeah.
So that's the movie I'm watching right now.
Cool.
Yeah. Other than that... I did some more rapids this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're really nice. You go in, it's like 30 minutes and it's $200. I wish I could do those every day. That would be fantastic.
I wish I could do this at all.
Yeah. I don't know why you haven't gotten called in for them yet. It surprises me. But I guess Todd hasn't either, so I guess they're just looking for higher meters or something. I know why. Jonathan Cotton is why you and Todd haven't been called in. He is their deep voice guy, and they just call him for every character that they want to have a deep voice. They don't even audition. They just call in Jonathan Cotton. And he's got kind of a Maurice LaMarche sort of, you know, he can do the Raymond Burrs and the, you know, Orson Welles. He can do that. He can nail those. Mm-hmm. So I guess that's probably what it is.
Yeah.
Which sucks because it's easy money.
Yeah.
And they're kind of fun and you get to play around a bit. So
I went and saw my buddy Jalen's production of God of Carnage.
Mm-hmm.
If that is ever playing anywhere for anyone to go see, I highly recommend it. It's a contemporary play about two couples and their parenting styles.
Oh, Jesus.
It's awesome.
Nice.
It was one of the funniest shows that I have seen. And it's really nice to see my buddy start to find some nuance, not quite always be him. He's great in everything he does. He just did Atticus Finch. In Mockingbird, and then he did this. So
it'd be weird if he did Atticus Finch, but not in Mockingbird.
Right,
that would be interesting.
Where was he going with this?
He just did Atticus Finch. He's doing something else, is what you were Or you just finished something else?
No. To go see God of Carnage. What was before God of Carnage?
I think I was talking before God of Carnage.
Right, about?
Oh, I was talking about this is the best movie I've played, and it's the movie I'm playing.
Right.
That's all I said.
Dang it. Look, my advanced age has now been captured in continuity. No.
Perpetuity.
That's it.
Incontinuity.
My incontinence has been captured for pompativity.
Pompativity.
Anyway, God of Carnage was an amazing laugh riot. And I was going somewhere with this, and we're not going to roll back the tape and figure out where it was. But
okay,
if I discover it at some point, I'll just jump in with that. But it was something specific to, I know exactly where it was. See, if I give myself enough time, I can figure it out. You were talking about Rapids.
Yes.
So my buddy Jalen, who's in this play.
Right.
That was just a side story. He works for Key Bank.
Oh.
And Alyssa and I, right before ZoeCon, did a little training video.
Right.
For Key Bank.
Mm.
To wit, Jalen has seen me as crazy bus money.
Nice.
So now, and who came to the show the same night as us? Three of his coworkers.
Oh, boy.
Who had also seen it. So it was, hey, this is bus money.
Oh, my God.
Of course, they all know who that is. Mm-hmm. And hilarity ensued. And so we were talking with people in the group and asked, you know, what else have you seen? Oh, well, I haven't seen much. I've seen this one of Jalen's, and I think the last play that I saw was Cuckoo's Nest in, like, Renton or Auburn, and Jen and I kind of pressed him a little bit. He's like, I can't remember much. I just know the guy playing McMurphy had wings on his back, and I just reached across the table and shook his hand and said, nice to meet you.
Wow.
And,
holy shit.
So yeah, so like 11 years ago was the last thing he'd seen.
Holy shit, dude. And yeah, he happened to see you. That's fucking funny.
It was a weird small world thing.
It is bizarre.
So
cool. So we're on a little bit of a time crunch, so I think we should jump into our Bardic questions of the week.
You betcha.
Answers. And of course, last week, our question was, if you were dropped somewhere unknown, you have no idea what the climate or the resources are going to be, what three items would you want with you? They can't be rule breakers, like no magic boxes or whatever. Rob McLennan's answer was, well, you've got to have water. So a container or canteen with a ceramic filter should take care of that. Good call. And to that, a halfway decent hunting camp knife and 1,000 feet of paracord.
Ooh.
Mm. And that's about as good as I can get. That's actually a pretty damn good. You can cut a tree down with paracord.
Yeah.
I can use the knife and the paracord to make a shelter, make a fire starting bow, fashion bow and arrows. That would be good enough for a small game. A spear for defense, a fishing spear with a retrieval cord. You get the picture. Wink. Edited. I love those edits.
Yes.
That's a very pragmatic and easy to achieve answer.
Mm-hmm.
That is legitimately something like you'd put in a pack and keep in the back of your car at all times, in my opinion. Do you want to read the next? Can you read the next one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Rival Guy says some sort of isolation suit, maybe hazmat, maybe scuba or space, something that I can isolate myself from the environment if it's unfit for habitation while remaining mobile. Okay. For water, I'm going with a still since I can't reasonably carry a long supply of water. True. And might run into mainly unpotable water.
Yep.
Lastly, some sort of multi-tool or Swiss Army knife for whatever I might encounter out there.
It's another good one. It's very space. It's very like Robinson Crusoe on Mars, but I like it.
Yes. Did we specify whether it was Earth?
We specified Earth, but I like where he's going on this. Like a spacesuit has both heating and cooling in it. So.
Right. But
I don't think we specified Earth, but it was pretty. It's Earth.
Right. And I mean, I get that with the scuba, but just for hazmat or spacesuit, to make those work the way they're supposed to, don't you have to be plugged in?
Well, you need a couple of things for hazmat spacesuit. For hazmat, oh no, for all of them. For hazmat, scuba, or spacesuit, you need air. You need some type of rebreather or breathable piece. The issue with the spacesuit is there are no spacesuits that don't take two people to get into.
Oh, true.
So scuba is the only one on there that I think is fully single person. Mm-hmm. Even hazmat suits, I think, require someone behind you to zip and seal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think scuba is the only one there that you can do solo. So that's a good point, too. But I think if you had all the time of being stranded, you'd figure it out.
You'd figure it out, yeah.
So,
for sure.
Yeah, like you'd make like a little harness or whatever.
But I just thought they needed to have umbilicals to make them, that they needed to be pumped of air.
No, they have self-contained both.
Okay.
They have
okay.
self-contained both. But again, they battery and tanks for air.
Right.
So if you don't have a way to recharge those, you get whatever is in that tank
right.
as usage out of it. Patrick Bowden writes, I don't think this is breaking the rules, but number one, a still suit from Dune. Well, yeah, it is, but that's fine. It's imaginary, which there are real prototypes for. And I get that. And those are the water reclamation. They reclaim your waste. They do have those prototyped pretty much just for liquid waste, though.
They don't
do a lot with the poos.
No,
but that your sweat, your exhalate and urine and stuff, they do reprocess those. Some form of multi-tool with a knife and magnifying glass for fire, and finally a first aid kit because I'm going to end up injuring myself at some point. That is true.
Yes,
that is true. I do like the multi-tool with magnifying glass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything short of a gas station Rambo knife I've never seen with a magnifying glass in it, though. That's actually a really good idea.
Oh, they Swiss do. Army does make them.
Oh, good, good. Yeah, and we should
I
have
believe
said,
it's the electronics.
Got it.
One.
Okay.
So that you can see.
While you're, yeah, what you're soldering and whatnot.
Oh, I thought you were going to go into.
No, no, I'm done.
Something
I'm done.
More about the Swiss
what
Army.
Is Dennis.
So James Peters writes in and says, can we pull up the number three? A good multi-tool, probably my Leatherman OHT. I was trying to figure out what that was, but.
Oh, right. I'll talk
on
about
Humble Thumb,
three.
I think. Mm-hmm. Number two, a good fire starter. Okay.
So definitely not Gene Simmons. Seth, please link that.
Oh, man.
It's the worst cover of all time. It's so bad. It's almost spoken word, dude.
Almost. And then number three, this poster laminated.
Right. And the poster.
Let's say you've gone back in time.
So it's a poster about, let's say you've gone back in time. That's the title of the poster.
Okay.
It's really hard to read. That's why I didn't bring it up. And there's no magnification on it.
Oh, okay.
So. Basically, it has things like, here's how flying works, here's how certain chemistry works, here's how... So, it's a cheat... It's the Ash versus Evil Dead Army of Darkness cheat book. It's fifth-grade chemistry or whatever.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it explains the Bernoulli effect and lift and all that, and a bunch of other, like, simple properties, but enough to get you to the point where you'd be very comfortable in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I don't know how useful it would be stranded. It would definitely be more useful with people, whether they be trained or not trained. You still need the manpower to make those types of things happen.
Right.
So, but overall, I think that's pretty good. Good fire starters are tough to... You have to get like the paraffin ones or whatever, and sometimes they're tough to start and everything like that. So I still think that's a pretty good option. So don't know about the poster, having read it, but we'll let everybody read it. I'm sure Seth will link that as well.
Yeah.
And we'll let everybody read it on their own.
And based on that question, I would like to ask
the question this week.
A question this week based on that.
Yeah.
What? I won't qualify it as post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
What man against the elements, however you want to extrapolate that movie, do you like? So for me, I mean, and this could be 27 hours. This could be, you know, anything in any realm where it's someone trying to survive.
Right. Castaway or. Right, yeah. Okay.
For me is The Quiet Earth.
Okay.
And it's a movie from, I think, the late 80s, early 90s about a guy wakes up and everyone is gone.
Hmm.
The imprint of a body is still on the bed. The imprint of that body under the blanket is still on the blanket until he touches it and then it disappears.
Oh, geez.
It was some of the most amazing void effects I'd ever seen in a movie.
Nice.
But what he, the stages that he goes through of, you know, freaking out, oh my God, I'm the only one, to holy fuck, I could do whatever I want.
Mm-hmm.
So then he gets a bunch of cardboard cutout standees and gets in a mansion, has all the nice cars. Everything still works.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity's still working, you know, all of that. And he gets this huge sound system and then he starts doing Hitler's speech from Nuremberg.
Jesus Christ.
And he's like standing there like him, not trying to be Hitler, but just
right.
Here's a recording of all of this stuff. So he's got all these standees in the background, in the backyard. He's on the balcony of this mansion speaking out to the people.
Jesus.
With cheers coming up. And so it's this sort of, you know, from holy shit, I'm the last man on earth to... oh my God, I'm the last man. I can do whatever I want, and just starts living out these wild, you know, very simple fantasy type things. And then, you know, it goes on from there. But if you can find it, it's good. I believe it's an English film.
Gotcha.
But,
yeah, I mean, there are a lot that I like, not A Quiet Place. They have electricity too. They never explain it. Which, if it's a comedy, I don't care if they never explain it.
Right.
But this is a serious movie. I have no idea where they're getting electricity and why they're still using fire-based light when they're leaving TVs on in the monitoring room just all fucking hours. So it's not like it's a generator and they're wasting power, because the TVs are tuned to dead stations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's 2020. There are no analog... all the TVs are analog, by the way. So, yeah, it's like and they've got incandescent lights across, because they film better, but they make no sense if you're trying to conserve power. So, obviously, power is not a problem.
Yeah.
But they still burn fire just so they can have a dramatic scene where something catches fire because they're burning fucking... I hate this movie. So, for me, my favorite post-apocalyptic or not, or just post-stranded, whatever type of movie... is probably, I mean, I really did like I Am Legend. I actually really liked I Am Legend, especially if you watch the original ending, not the theatrical ending, but the original ending.
Yeah.
Way better. I mean, mountains better, in my opinion. Especially when the glass shatters and it makes the butterfly. That fucking blew my mind. Anyway, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
It, you know, it doesn't make any sense in the ending as it is. Theatrically, but that's a pretty good one. But yeah, I don't know. Most of my favorite apocalyptic scenarios are in my head, or scenarios where I have to survive are in my head. They're easy scripts to write generally, because it's all about like one person, maybe a few locations. They're cheap scripts to write. Look at something like Swiss Army Man, where granted, that wasn't super cheap, but it did keep the cost down enough to make that movie with an A-list actor. So, and a D-list actor. And the A-list actor got to be a corpse. That was really weird, but I liked it.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Doesn't help me.
You also have many other means to get things.
I know.
So that'll help you. No, that's a good question then. So what is your favorite story? Let's make it a story. What is your favorite story of survival, be it post-apocalyptic, but isolationist survival? Let us know that. And we can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah.
So our questions this week start off with one from Brian Bender, who is not as bendy as his name implies, by the way.
No, but his dance moves are legendary.
It's true. It's true. Cats or dogs? Yes, they both exist. I don't understand. Alternatively, in a world without free will, how can one act ethically?
Dogs.
Okay.
As we all know, I'm allergic to cats.
Yes.
Although I do find, if I weren't allergic to cats, cats are nice to visit if they're nice cats. I just haven't had much luck with the nice cats part. Alternatively, I would say without free will, you act as you were told, and that is the new ethic.
Neither. I don't really care for pets, to be completely honest. I can barely take care of myself. In a world without free will, how can one act ethically? One acts as one acts, and the consequences of that occur as they do. So I personally act what I feel is ethically. I'll return, you know, if someone drops a $10 bill, I'm going to give it back to them. If someone, you know, nothing is telling me to do that. I don't know. It's just, I think, again, this comes back to sort of the hive mentality, the fact that we have separated ourselves so much from our nature and refuse the concept of the society over the concept of the individual, especially in the West. We really like the concept of the individual, and we really oppose the concept of society. I act, and I try to act in a more social-minded context, because ultimately we are a superorganism. So even without free will, the idea of getting across the goalpost of new discoveries and things like that requires society. So I act in a way that is beneficial to society. And it seems like society would select for that. So in a world without free will, I think it's eventually going to be more of that.
Yeah.
In a world with free will, it's eventually going to be more of that. Otherwise, to dust with us. To dust with us forever. Oh, God. You got this one that Dennis wrote. I'm sorry.
Dennis Nickel writes, recognize that you guys aren't super big sports fans.
What?
Dennis, have you not been listening to the podcast? But that's okay. But with that said, Merkaball! I am referring to football, baseball, or basketball, and why the option you choose over the other two.
So which one do you choose and why over the other two?
Right.
I think is what he spent too much time on recognize.
He did.
Didn't edit the rest of it.
No. I thought, I was really hoping we were going into like monster truck things or something or battle bots or anything with wrecking.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Derby.
Then I was sideswiped into
Merkaball. I see what you did there. That was nice.
Thank you very much. So I am a fairly large sports fan of predominantly one, but many. And I will tell you why I pick football over baseball and basketball. Baseball, unless I'm in the ballpark, really slow on TV.
Sorry, I fell asleep. You said the word baseball.
I know. Basketball, I used to be a huge basketball fan. Portland Trailblazer tickets, not season tickets, but would go often. Almost got thrown out of a game for yelling at a ref, and he actually heard me.
That's great.
Yeah, I was about halfway back in the section right underneath one of the basketball hoops, and someone was shooting a free throw, and I lit into the guy, and he turned around and found me in the crowd and pointed at me, and I went, good on ya. Sat back down. But anyway, awesome. I like the football because it is some people will say that it is slow. I don't find it to be slow. It's just a chess match to me based on skill, not logic. Mm-hmm. Whereas basketball kind of it. I mean, basketball is very much like soccer to me. There's some boring in between. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody misses a basket, we run down to the other side, But then there's always the stop, wait, okay, we're going to make this play. We're going to design this thing that we've laid out. We're going to run this particular play, and it takes forever, and there's 50 million in football. We're going to run this play. You're going to streak down the field. I'm going to pick one of you four guys to throw it to or hand off to this other guy, and we're going to run, and we're going to see how many yards we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to just beat the shit out of one another.
Right.
And then do it again.
Right.
And that's what I like about football.
Right. So if I had to pick between football, baseball, or basketball, I would pick hockey. Basketball is basically just really complex Pong. Baseball, fucking A, no. Like, baseball is literally just going to a place to get drunk and eat overpriced hot dogs.
Right, but that's going to the game.
That's going to the game. Yeah. At home, it makes no sense.
No.
It's like, it's just loosey-goosey golf for me. It's like, I hate it. And if I had to pick one to represent America, it would absolutely be football.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the sports, American football is... So, football gets way too much money. It's a simulated war. It's... We over-engineer the equipment for it. Everything is overpriced. There's nothing more American than that. There is nothing more American than football. Everybody's divided into, free agents, like wherever the most money is. That's more baseball, though, honestly. Like,
that's all three of
those sports.
It's all three
of them, yeah. But I thought aren't there limits in football? Whereas baseball, you can literally just buy the best people and there's no upper
yes,
limit.
Yes, New York Yankees.
That's what I thought.
Fuck you, Brophy. Okay.
Well, they call them Yankees for a reason.
Oh, if you could only see what Andy was yanking on, Mr. Brophy.
McChane.
So I will tell you this. Mm-hmm. No football player has ever come close to having a contract worth a quarter of $1 billion.
True.
Which A-Rod got in baseball. Yeah. So
the other reason I think football is an American, like more American than baseball, you can apply the metric system to any of those. You can apply the metric system to all those sports.
Yeah.
But only football stops making sense if you do.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball doesn't give a rat's ass if you apply the metric system to it. Basketball doesn't give a rat's ass if you apply the metric system to it. All of a sudden, football becomes really confusing. It is the most American sport. It is like, it is so tied to imperial measurement.
Yardage.
And like, the whole system is like watching a slow, well, not slow, it's pretty fast. I mean, it's like watching a battle recreation, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got red versus blue or I guess blue versus gray, you know, and that is kind of how it's divided too, right? Well, not quite AFL and whatever. Still just really interesting to. It is a very American,
yes,
sort of sport. No fucking corner kicks. No, you know, I mean, everything in it is. There's a George Carlin joke about it, right? About everything in football being war. It's like you have scrimmage and gridiron, mm-hmm, and a long bomb. And, you know, baseball, you go to a park. I think that was the very first Saturday Night Live monologue. I'm not entirely sure, but I think it was one of the first.
Oh, could have been, yeah.
Was Football and Baseball by George Carlin. Great thing to listen to, but football's definitely.
And the other
one's
thing,
a pastime,
right?
One's the sport,
yeah,
of America.
And then you've got baseball being played everywhere with the same rules, the same fields, yeah, everything across the world. Basketball, you have the whole European League. By and large, we're all the same. You have American football. You have Canadian football, which takes the imperial and makes it the metric.
College football, different than NFL.
Slightly.
There's a lot of rule changes.
But the field is
the
field's
same. The same size, exactly the same size, yes.
But then in Canadian football, it's a different sized field. You go to the 55-yard line.
Of course you do.
I believe it's also narrower. And then there's really no other football. There's football,
which
is soccer.
Soccer here.
To, you know, the U.S. And then that is played globally. So
there's Australian rules football.
Right, which is rugby-esque.
It's not the same. Yeah, it's somewhere between American football and rugby. Yeah. It's a lot. I don't know, man. There's a lot more action. It's not so much collisions as it is a lot of movement.
Yes.
Which I actually like that. I like watching the ball get moved a lot more than watching a fight for a half a yard. You know, which, American football. I mean, they call it a 10-yard fight. It's literally, I mean, it's bulldozers attacking bulldozers. And, you know, so a lot of corn fed, a lot of corn fed hunks of meat out there.
Oh, and you may soon be hearing the two bards talking about the Seattle Seawolves.
Oh.
Because we got us a rugby league.
Rugby!
And hopefully
hockey for real. Not AAA, but like actual NHL hockey. That's the one I want.
Oh, I think that's what's coming in. That's the new
Key
Arena redo.
Yeah, I thought it was
we're
happening.
We're getting an NHL team.
But do they have a name yet?
I don't know.
What's our current? It's not the Thunderbirds. That's Spokane. Chiefs.
Yeah, Spokane's Chiefs. Portland Winterhawks.
Winterhawks. So are we Thunderbirds?
I think it's the Seattle Thunderbirds.
Okay,
yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense. All right. Well, Rob McLennan writes, I'm done with sports.
Yeah.
Dennis knows. I don't want you. But I don't know how do you not know Scott? Scott loves sports. Scott goes to sports. Scott has sported. I don't know how the terms work. Yeah. Rob McLennan writes, what food do you miss most given your current self-imposed dietary restrictions? So here's where that gets weird. I no longer miss, like, you asked me this 2 weeks in, fucking bread. Like, I would eat, I would punch a kid for a loaf of bread. Now it's, I miss the ability to consume the food I can eat right now in a manner that was carb adjacent or carb
inclusive.
Yeah, so stew is a good example of something. Like, I can make stew now, so I could still make stew if I wanted. It wouldn't have potatoes and carrots, and there's something about those that, that, like, it really feels good in the mouth, you know. Wraps, like tacos and stuff like that, where it's not just a chunk of bread, but the mode of locomotion for the protein to my face hole is carb based. So things like that, wontons, teriyaki. Actually, you know what? It's teriyaki. Teriyaki and pizza are the two things I miss the most. Teriyaki more though, because I can still eat pepperoni and cheese. I just can't eat the crust and the sauce. But teriyaki's straight out sugary meat plus rice. Fuck no. And that stuff is good.
Yeah. Yeah, I would and may need to be going in that same direction soon anyway, whether it's self-imposed or imposed by someone else. I would absolutely have a problem with desserts. I can do better. I made cookies. In the past, I would make a thing of cookies and they would last 2 days because I would be into the cookies going, oh my God, that's so awesome. Butter, sugar, chocolate. What more can one want?
Flour. Butter, sugar, chocolate, flour.
And now I can have a cookie and walk away for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. That's good. But I've also, because of the prior consumption, put myself into a place where my body thinks when it's getting one, it's going to have a whole bunch and then doesn't get them and gets angry with me.
Yeah. I will say this, just so you know, sweets aren't actually a problem because any of these restrictive diets are about blood sugar spikes, not necessarily about specifically calories from a carbohydrate. It's got to spike your blood sugar for it to cause any of the problems. So you can do something with low net carbs that taste just like candy or sugar or whatever. But you, the flour, there's no real replacement for that. So I can go get you something that tastes just like a Snickers bar and it will have 4 net carbs in it and you'll be fine. So you can still have that stuff. What I can't do is get you a biscuit. There's no fucking anything that tastes right that is a low carb.
What if it's a gluten-free?
Gluten-free doesn't, it still spikes your blood sugar.
But if you go gluten-free and then xylitol or sucralose or
well, it still spikes whatever. The problem is the, so gluten is just a protein binding agent that happens inside certain flours. When
right.
They, so gluten-free doesn't remove the complex carbohydrates in that, which still spike your blood sugar. So,
okay, so if I could make a quinoa cookie,
it would do better. Something with all fiber would do, you know, like a high fiber cookie would do better. Or if you could figure out a way, I guess, to make...
So an apple.
Yeah, that what is it? Shirataki. That, not shiitake, shirataki. It's like a plant-based... So it's pretty much all cellulose. They use it for no-carb noodles and stuff like that. If you could find a way to make that into flour, you'd be fine.
Okay.
But flour, whether it be rice, whether it be corn, whether it's all going to spike your blood sugar.
Oh, okay.
And the options around that suck. They're either terrible or they're not actually, or they still spike your blood sugar.
Off question, but wanted to know, now that you're into it. Monetarily, is it more, less, or the same expense-wise, do you feel?
I ate out a lot,
so
it ended up being the same. So it is more expensive than eating at home by a good chunk. Everything is expensive. If you want a pack of 8 candy bars that would normally cost you $4, something like that, it's like $12. If you want, I mean, steaks are expensive, you know, big time meats are expensive. Carbs are cheap, super cheap. Proteins are super expensive. So, because I ate out a lot before this, it ended up working out as kind of a wash in terms of the monthly expenditure. For most people, if you don't eat out currently, it's going to be 30 to 40% more expensive than your normal food intake. Because you have to do stuff like mushrooms aren't super cheap, whereas things like potatoes are.
Yep.
So, you know, bread is super cheap. Putting bacon between two steaks ain't cheap. It's fucking good, but it ain't cheap.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's where we're at there.
Patrick Bowden writes, if you were last in line for a prize and really wanted to be in the top three, how would you bump off the competition?
Well,
I would hire Tanya Harding to hire someone with a lead pipe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of anything that would be worth spending jail time for that would be in competition, because that's about the only thing I can think of. It would be hard to not tie it back to this person who ended up winning all of a sudden. You don't have, I mean, I don't know if you're, is he in the drawing currently? I didn't think so. Yeah, I mean, right now our drawing, you have a 75% chance of winning to yes. all of you, because there are only four people. So we need more people to join in.
Yes.
In addition to those four people, two of them, I think, are out of, well, two of them are way out of town.
Yep.
And then two of them are either
close, but out of the country.
Close, but out of the country, or
across the water.
Yeah, across the water. Exactly. So it's a pretty pretty open field right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I would love to see some more competition to come and spend some time with the bards, but maybe we're just not that interesting. Maybe we're sneaky.
And I think it is because a lot of people aren't. I mean, it would be great to have Lotta come and play a game, but yeah. we can't afford to fly her out here from Sweden.
Yeah, I wish we could afford to, but yeah. we're not big enough.
But we're not big enough. So tell everyone you know about Patreon. Make Please. Us big enough
Please.
So that we can have you all over Please. For some random gaming competitions.
Indeed. That'd be great. Yeah. So I would. So just yeah. how would you murder someone in general? I've been watching this terrible show. Dude, I mean terrible. Mm-hmm. And everybody should watch it. It's called Murderous Affairs. It's actually called Justice Served Murderous Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the title card, not the actual show name. So they don't ever use Justice Served in any of the documentation for it. But, oh God, it's so bad. It's like a late 80s Unsolved Mysteries style reenactment mm-hmm. show where, you know, like George Ramirez is a 98-year-old Mexican national and it'll be played by like some 25-year-old white dude, you know, or vice versa. Or like at this point, I just wish they'd even swap genders. I don't care, because if you're going to go that crazy with it, you should just go that crazy. With
right.
It's so bad. And I love it. And it's trash, garbage TV. And I love it. So the first thing I would do is not take out a life insurance policy on that person. Cause that seems to be that's a big one. A lot yeah. of people do that. The second thing I would do is, everything. It was basically not be over emotional, not be under emotional, because both of those trigger suspicion. You have to be just the right amount of emotional. So go mm-hmm. watch a bunch of people who have had relatives die or something. Kind of lock that in. Don't call them or text them to alleviate suspicion while your cell phone and their cell phone are in the same room, because they can track that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Don't text someone you're planning a murder with 200 fucking times on the day the murder happens. Yeah. There's like a lot of pretty much no-brainer stuff, but keep track of it and like really make sure to nail that, because a lot of people don't.
What I'm learning from The Wire
uh-huh.
in season 4 or 5 is take them to the abandoned, yet we're not going to demolish them buildings, wrap them in plastic,
mm-hmm.
remove the casings if you happen to use a gun,
mm-hmm.
or use a powder nail gun, take care of your business,
mm-hmm.
dump lye on the body, fold over the tarp, and walk away.
Hmm. Yeah.
Because, and do this at night,
mm-hmm.
walk the person in somehow, and for some reason, all these people going to their deaths are begging all the way in.
Right.
And not coming out.
Right.
So no one sees you go into this abandoned building. You take the same powder 23 gauge nail gun and secure the board over the cement wall again. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows you've been in or out. Mm-hmm. It's still secured, and that body is going to decompose with no...
Mm.
No leads.
Right.
There's a shot body.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is like have as few connections to the person, which makes it,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of hard
this
to do.
This is easy.
Yeah, because you don't
bump off the competition. Okay, don't know who you are. Great, let's.
And then don't enter the competition, and you're scot-free at that point.
Yes.
Yeah. Probably not going to get what you want out of it, but you're scot-free. Yeah. So this is macabre.
Two bards, how to kill a bard, how to hide a body. That'll be
without
next
further
week.
Ado, thank you to our Patreon subscribers.
Hawk Robinson.
Leslie. Oh, we're out of order. James Peters.
Leslie Sedlak.
Rob McLennan.
Zombie Orpheus Entertainment.
Tobin Dax.
Gordon D. Duke.
Dennis Nickel.
Jay Blanken.
Casey Lee.
Dougie Sharp.
Todd McKimmy.
Lotta Jerf.
Tom Brophy.
Laura Adams.
James Herbert.
Bo Pritchard.
Tim Martin.
Brad Roberts.
Jennifer Reifenberry.
And Rival Guy.
And as always, a huge thank you to our Linkmaster General, who we kind of run a little ragged this week, but that's fine. So Seth Davis, thank
Seth,
you so much.
Thank you so much.
And you rock.
And we'll roll.
Don't kill anybody, okay? Even if you don't have free will.